Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you really want to support the free content that you listen to through podcasts, especially about cycling, but you're really not sure how to do that? That's what we're going to talk about on this episode of Crosshairs Radio. Every once in a while, you find that there's a way to do more. And you think, what could that be? How is it in my life that I can find a little extra to do something different, to help my fellow cyclists who have sat in front of a microphone and tried to do a really bad Ira Glass impersonation? What can I do to make them stop? Well, here's what you can do. You can support the Wide Angle Podium Network because this is our NPR type donor drive. We need you to help us. And here's the thing. I can come on here and tell you every week that the reason I need this is because server costs and all this kind of stuff and how this affects me personally. To be perfectly honest, the burden has shifted to the network. So they are actually taking on most of the cost for all of the show's server needs. And it's a lot of money. So it's not really as much on my shoulders. That was the cool thing about being part of this network is that those resources are now shared. So where I used to pay for all of that stuff for Crosshairs Radio and also Kids Don't Follow podcast, now it's moved over and the network pays for that. So what I need all of you to do is help us cover those costs so we can continue to do this. Because at some point, it's not going to make sense to run the network anymore, and then we'll all have to disperse and do our own stuff again. But we don't want that to happen. We want to keep rolling, keep putting out this content, keep getting these podcasts to you. So this is why we are taking this time right now on all of the Wide Angle Podium shows to get you to join up. Go to wideanglepodium.com to become a member. Become a donor. You can do it for $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, all the way up to $50 a month. If you do that, if you become a member, we'll send you stuff. It's not like you're getting nothing. I mean, first of all, you're getting the best cycling podcast out there. I'm going to say it. It's the best cycling podcast out there. You all know it. You listen. You should subscribe to all of them. As a bonus, you get a music episode there too. You get cycling people talking about music. Kids Don't Follow. Go listen to that one too. But we'll send you stickers, shirts. These are all the things that you can gain by becoming a member. You get free bonus content that's only available to members. For instance, if you were to give $15 a month, you would get first the bonus content we already talked about. You get a sticker pack. You'd also get a t-shirt. That's all really cool stuff. I'm loving how the stickers are looking. I saw them. I'd never seen it before. I am like stoked to get my Crosshairs Radio sticker. It's going right on the front of the Trapper Keeper, to the right of the Anarchy sticker, and to the left of Thrasher. Since this is our special donor drive, this section, you know, this time period, really end of August, beginning of September, we do have special incentives that we are giving away to get you all to join during this time. It's not a tote bag, although that would be cool. I'd walk around with a tote bag with Super Rookie's picture on it. What it is actually is a water bottles. You get your Wide Angle Podium water bottles. And every member that joins during the drive, they will be entered into a prize pack drawing. They will be mailed, this is pretty cool, a Narweasels race number, courtesy of Results Boy, as a postcard. And then we will draw a winning number this fall, and that donor that received that race number will win. So that's pretty awesome too, but you can't be part of all of that fun unless you become a member. So, wideanglepodium.com, go sign up. And go tell your friends to sign up as well. Go put it out there on Twitter, on Facebook, on MySpace. Add Wide Angle Podium as your top 8 friends. Go do that. All right. On today's episode, we have an interesting one. It's they don't do that in Europe. We're going to talk about Really the beginning of the season, all of the World Cup races that are about to happen. And, you know, especially starting in Vegas and then going to Jingle Cross. And then we sort of get sidetracked into a lot of other stuff. The cool part about this show is we have a special guest. We have John Gatch from Ohio. John Gatch is one of the Johns of the Two Johns podcast. If you were listening to cycling podcasts in the early to mid 2000s, you know the Two Johns podcast. And it's pretty awesome to have him on. He regales us in some old stories from the podcast and also jumps in on all of the other topics that we are talking about for this show. Couple little things I want to mention about the episode before we get started. We can call this the corrections department, since I seem to be correcting myself a lot lately. Here goes. First off, I just want to say that when I talk about Tyler Hamilton and his camelback during the Tour de France, I actually was thinking about Frank Schleck and his camelback during the Criterium International. So no need for tweets on that one. Or, hey, do it anyway. What the heck? I figured this way, if I put the corrections in the front instead of that the end, you all aren't contemporaneously tweeting as you get to that part where I screw up. The second piece of errata, I talk about not knowing what I'm doing September 10th and 11th and say that I am going to Spain. Well, that's actually happening, I believe, the week before that. As I say on the show, I really don't know where the heck I'm going to be. And the crazy thing is that weekend that just flummoxed me in not knowing where I was going to be, that September 10th and 11th weekend, I'll actually be at home. So that was the confusing part. I'll be at home in D.C. So anyway, like we do on all of the TDDTIE episodes, I'm going to hand things off to Scott Diedenbach of the Cyclocross Network and let him run the show. So enough yapping here. Let's go talk to Scott. No, let's hand it over to Scott. That's the better way to say that. Take it away, Scott.
All right, CX Hairs listeners, we are back with another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe. With us, as always, the usual cast in the center, Mr. David Palin.
Good afternoon.
Working hard today, taking a break to join us.
Don't tell anybody, I snuck into the back alleys of the shop so I can work.
On my left, Bill Shiken, CX Hairs, Crosshairs Radio. What else, Bill? You got so many things going on, man.
That's plenty. We can just stop there. That's good.
And you guys, we have a special guest. Probably someone that podcast listeners have heard of, you think?
I'd hope so. It depends how long they've been listening to podcasts.
We got one of the two Johns, John Gatch, joining us. John, man, welcome to the show, dude.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
That golden voice of podcast fame.
I think the other John has the better voice, but
all right. Well, pleasure having everybody here. Bill, we actually got a tweet requesting a show, man.
Yeah.
How awesome was that?
And well, I think they were just tweeting at me to say how much they missed you and David doing cyclocross today.
So they sent that to you. all right. Well, today we are going to, like, Bill and I were talking, what are we going to talk about today? And like you said, Bill, the cyclocross info website has been dead.
Yeah. So Europe, you know, they don't buy into this whole cyclocross is, you know, never ends thing. And they pretty much shut it down as far as news goes. I think the biggest story on there was Vanderpool having his double knee surgery, and that's already, what, like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, right. So, and there's only so much we can talk about that. So,
right. I think we can pretty much count on him not being in the U.S. So that's a disappointment.
Yeah, that is. Both years now with the World Cups, he's not been able to come. So that is a disappointment. But if it's going to pay off in the end, we're going to get to see him at Worlds. I'm fine with that. You know, that's a small price to pay. So
yeah, definitely. But
so one of the things we decided to talk about is: are you guys aware that the UCI cyclocross season starts tomorrow?
Tomorrow, where?
Tomorrow, First event on the UCI calendar, Australian National Championship.
Oh.
Boom.
There you go. And then Beijing is like next week, right?
And then Beijing is the 31st.
Wow. It's really here, isn't it? We always say it.
Yeah.
So one of the things we were going to talk about is we want to just kind of just do like a preseason of the schedule, what we're thinking about, what we're looking forward to on the schedule, how the U.S. schedule is going to play out, how that week with the two World Cups is going to play out. And we'll just kind of do roundtable discussion about all that. Does that sound good?
Sounds like
yes,
a good plan.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Where do you guys want to start? Who wants to start? Bill, where do you want to start? You want to start with the World Cups in the U.S.?
Well, I want to actually throw it back at you since you have more knowledge about this. And let's just start with that first race. I'm going to put the burden on you to have all the people in Australia mad at you for getting this wrong. So what's going to happen in the Australian National Championship?
I think in the Australian National Championship, I'll make a prediction. I'll predict the podium. I'm going to say, are you ready for this? I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to say Gary Milburn is going to win.
Whoa, okay.
Chris Good. Aitken is going to get second, and Tom Chapman is going to get third. Boom.
Wait, isn't Aitken that guy who just won the decathlon last night?
Yeah.
No. I think, I think that would be a long shot. I know, Junger Ward is going to be there, obviously, and he's going to be really tough to beat. But I would just love to see Chris and Tom do well as they're preparing to come over here and race in Rochester. They've both been riding really well. The last race of the national series, I believe they both got second and third in that race. So I think they both have been keying on the nationals all season long, setting up everything to do well there. So I think we're going to see really good rides out of both of them, whether or not they get on the podium. They both get on the podium. We'll wait and see. But I just think it'd be really cool to get some of those young guys up on that Australian podium.
Who are the guys that were involved in that sort of rubbing his racing to the extreme episode last year?
That was Jungle Ward and Vanderplug.
Okay.
And Vanderplug. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we'll see. We'll see. If
Is that bad blood out there? I mean, should we be building this up? The rumble down
we'll
under.
See. It'll be Wheel Grab 2.0.
Yeah.
Thunder Down Under.
That's it.
I
think
those
that's
guys
a totally different thing, David.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I guess so. Sorry about that, Bill. This is a family show. There I go.
I mean, again. I did just book a travel to Vegas, so I can report back on that for you if you want.
That's good.
Let's talk about I want to talk about the U.S. calendar a little bit here. I think when we look at the U.S. cyclocross calendar this year, there's three big differences that we're going to see this year. One, Jingle Cross in September. And then two and three are both Rochester and KMC being in completely different venues. So I think, people might look at the schedule and think it's the typical schedule, but I think those are three really big changes. What do you guys think? Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, Jingle Cross, of course, is the biggest deal here since, it moved from closer to being a true Jingle Cross a race to the this summer, so it could be a World Cup, and it's just really, really, really condensed week of World Cup racings. Which, not to take a couple steps back, but you can sort of compare it. Like the Jingle Cross name almost does work because it's very similar to the Christmas week races in Belgium now, because everybody's coming over for that Trek race that's going to be that first weekend, and then they all go to Vegas for a Wednesday race, and then they all go to Iowa for a couple UCI, a C1, a C2, and a World Cup. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six races in 10 days?
Yeah.
Bill, how far is it from the furthest venue or the longest drive during Christmas week to get all the equipment from one venue to another?
It's basically,
as opposed to... Go ahead.
Probably less than an hour drive.
Okay.
So that's similar. Versus, that's similar, right?
Yeah, just about.
Versus what? What's the distance from Iowa City to Vegas? I looked it up before, but I can't remember. It's far.
It's like 15 hours, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's you basically have to fly. I mean, so what do you guys think about that? I mean, personally, I'm going to say it would be really nice. Even if Jingle Cross was on Sunday instead of Saturday, that would be a huge help. But what do you guys think about this whole scheduling thing of these two races being so close together? I mean, I know part of the intent is to make it easier for Europeans coming over here, but at the same time, you make it really difficult on some of the American teams that have to travel around the country. It would be really cool if there was an extra, say, like Boulder was that weekend, right? So you can go from Vegas to Boulder, get there that weekend, and then you got a whole nother week to get over to Iowa or something.
I'm not sure how it makes it easier for the Europeans. I mean, it makes it easier because all the racing is all clumped together, but they have to travel as well.
I don't see how they're all
true.
They have to get equipment from one place to the other.
Yeah, they're already in that mindset of they're flying. You know, they're doing an overseas transfer, so they're already in the traveling mindset of packing everything up and moving it from place to place. And just the U.S. guys that I've talked to are still even on the fence of, like, are we going to do Trek Cup and Jingle Cross only? Are we going to do Vegas? It's like a last-minute decision for some of them. And then the scramble of, you know, bike box, fly, ship, when do I get my bike?
Yep.
At one
assemble
place.
It. Yeah. Right.
It's a logistic puzzle for sure.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pieces to that as well. One, on the European side, it's going to be a change for a lot of these guys who show up with what, 5-6 bikes to every race, plus, you know, a quiver of how many wheels, 30, 40 wheels if they want. They can just throw them all in their trailer and drive to the race. They're not going to be able to have more than 2 bikes.
Yeah.
Right.
No. When they were coming over for Vegas, it's a no-brainer. I mean, the conditions are pretty predictable and you don't need to bring a bunch of different tires, but you could be going and racing on 3 very, very different surfaces and conditions.
Yeah, you mean you could have an all-out mud race at Jingle Cross.
Absolutely. If it rains all weekend, it could totally be that. And then at the same time, it could be a complete file tread race. I mean, it's really impossible to predict. But, yeah, that's a good point, John. Vegas is easier to predict because you're going to be pretty consistent with the terrain there. But so, yeah, and then we do have a lot of the Europeans registered for Trek, right? I mean, basically,
I think it's
all
over
the Telenet.
20 plus.
All the Telenet Fidea. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Telenet Fidea, it's a home race for them, right? I
mean, yeah, well, their bike sponsor for sure, yeah. And Wout Van Aert, of course.
Scott, I'm gonna have to correct you there.
What?
I got in trouble for this, so I'm going to...
Oh, he's a Trek guy now, Scott.
No. I was slapped on the wrist by Trek. No. They are a frame sponsor.
Oh.
Oh.
Did you? I was like, oh man, what did I say?
You
oh, no.
said bike. I did the same thing. I was like, new bike day, and they were like, well, it's just frames.
Oh, geez. That's true. Well, who's the Telenet Fidea component sponsor then, I wonder? Do we know? Is it, I mean, is it all riding
Shimano? I mean, isn't Sven Shimano? And maybe that's the issue. Maybe they were,
yeah,
you know,
that's
got Trek used
probably
to be SRAM.
It, man. Yeah. And no SRAM rider. So, but also Wout Van Aert, of course. I mean, the list is long. So, but we haven't seen now. Do you guys think we're going to see some European riders in Rochester too? I think the only guy registered right now is, what's his name? Jens van der Kiernan or something like that, right?
Yeah, so, doesn't it make sense for more than a couple? And then there's also, after Rochester, there's that kind of, you
Alma
know,
Grand Prix of cyclocross.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
Same day. Yep. Correct.
But the same day as Trek is Nittany. So there's a C2 right. That if you're doing your, you know, scheduling and looking at points, that's going to be a race that is worthwhile going if you're sort of that second tier
sure.
UCI racer. Yep. In the same way that I think that Friday of Iowa is going to be attracting an entirely different crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's going to be tough for people to be racing Friday if they raced Vegas, obviously.
Right, but don't you think, like, all the pros, that's a C2 Friday, World Cup Saturday, C1 Sunday. So most of the pros are going to be racing, you know, we're talking the elite pros are going to be racing the World Cup if they're eligible and then jumping into the C1.
Yeah, so you see a group of people that just show up to Iowa Friday that don't make it to Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, because they're not eligible to race at Vegas.
Right. So, I mean,
there's a chance to get some points.
And one of those could be John Gatch.
I will be in Iowa, but I'll be pitting for that race.
Oh.
And I won't be in Vegas, though.
Are you going to be there Friday?
In Iowa?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, I will be racing on Friday.
Sweet.
And when you see, John, are you hearing that there's a big group coming out of Ohio for that one?
Yeah, there's a solid group coming over, for sure. Yes.
That'll be great.
Excellent. Okay. So Bill, what else did you want to cover about the Vegas Jingle Cross week? Any other, logistics or anything like that?
Will Jingle Cross still have that? Don't they do some naughty Santa bikini race or ride or something? Or
oh, the single speedo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are they going to stick with the Christmas theme is my question.
I believe they are.
Because it's going to be like sponsored by Walmart or Target, right? Because that's right in there, the right time frame for back to Christmas sales.
There you go.
Yeah.
And they
do they have to make any course modifications? I mean, don't they have that sort of log section?
Yeah, I believe the course is slightly different. I think John posted a course map a few weeks ago. It was slightly different, and how they hit. I think they hit Crumpet twice per lap.
Ooh.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think like they did. I think they did that last year too. But you know they'll be. I think Crumpet. You know, weather-wise, Crumpet. The chances of Crumpet being much more rideable are a lot higher this year. I think it's going to be. You know. Way more rideable if it stays dry and hot and stuff like we're thinking, then Crumpet will be a lot more rideable and could see some really good action on that. I think, guys, yes, no,
Bill,
you're coming to Jingle, right?
I am, and it will be
first time.
Well, it'll be the first time I'm going to Jingle Cross, and I can say that the last time I was at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, I got in trouble because I didn't. Call my parents when I was at the state fair to let them know where I was, and I had just gone with a friend, and I was probably 12.
What were you doing at the Iowa State Fair?
I grew up in Iowa City.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you go to Minneapolis a lot, but
yeah,
you know.
I have a lot of homes, but yeah, no, I went to elementary school in Iowa City, and it's like this is why it's crazy for me to go back. It's just gonna be this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go back and see,
have you ever ridden
Sierra
Rack
House?
Ride?
No, I never did.
Wow. All right, so that's the first two World Cups. We got Vegas. We got Jingle Cross. The next, I just want to kind of go look at the World Cup schedule a little bit, if you guys are good with that. So those are both in September, very close together. Then we don't have another World Cup till October 23rd, and that's going to be Valkenburg. We all probably remember Vandehaar just basically crushing the world at that race last year. Any reason to think he won't do the same thing?
I think he's going to be even stronger this year.
I think his skills are going to be, you know, that much better. He's going to have all the strength and speed that he's had over the years, and I think he's been doing some skills training.
Well, he's got the right coach now. It's such a crazy thing, too. I mean, I feel like the transfer season for cyclocross, I mean, the UCI sort of has to – don't they need to decouple that from the road season at this point?
The road season's silly, too.
They're still – but, I mean, you're – so Vandehaar is getting coached by Sven and getting all of the benefit of this Telenet team. I mean, I'm sure Giant's happy about it, but he's not even on that team until January.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't understand that at all. So I don't know.
It's like,
but,
you know, the pro road season, you announce that you have a new contract in August and then race for the same team until January.
Yeah.
You got to, especially with like, what's his face, Bling from Orica Green Edge. You know, everybody works their butt off for him to win sprints, and he right after the tour announces he's switching. How do the lead out guys feel about that? You know, do they really give 100% after that?
Depends how big the watch is.
Yeah.
But so Vandahar, is that your pick too, John? Is that everybody's pick, kind of?
Yeah, the guy is maturing every year and just getting faster and faster. And
on that course. Now, on the women's side, we haven't even mentioned women's stuff yet. Remember, and the only reason I remember this is because I looked this up. Eva Lechner, that was the race she won. But that was the race that Katie Antoneau got second in. And so I'm curious to see what I'm really curious about Katie Antoneau this year, what she's going to do in Europe. She had that one, you know, podium finish. What do you guys think? Is she going to be able to follow that up? Is she going to be able to get another podium this year at one of the World Cups? Do you think maybe she's even going to get a couple? What direction do you think? Do you guys think Katie Antoneau will go this year?
I think she's definitely going to be up there at this race, but I think that if you want to talk about, or in races, but I think if you want to talk about Valkenburg on its own, this is going to be the F you everybody, I'm still here race for Katie Compton.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think there's a really good chance of that. That's a good point, Bill.
I think that, you know, just looking at what she's training more in the off season than she ever has. If you see her go into those crits that she's been racing and just crushing those, and it seems like she's in a good place. She's obviously got something to prove just with new sponsors and all that, and just, you know, everybody sort of beginning to write her off because of age and performance and everything else. It seems like we'll see, but she's healthy and there, and this is the type of course that she always excels at.
I totally agree. Sorry,
John, did you get a chance? I was just going to ask you. Did you get a chance to hang out with her when she was in Cincinnati just last weekend?
I didn't. We sent our youngest off to college, so we were in countdown mode to having her leave the house. So
okay,
that wouldn't have been a popular decision for me to go to that. I totally agree. Like Compton, she seems like revitalized. Just her aura, just the stuff that you see in social media, when the training stuff she's been doing. She was here in Cincinnati, like you said, Scott, doing that clinic with our Lionhearts juniors. And she just seems like totally relaxed. I mean,
yes.
Like completely relaxed. She looks almost different. Like she doesn't look stressed at all. And you know, it's not the season yet, but her new bike is awesome. You know, she just seems like she's got it all together right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wasn't there either, but I got that same impression from the pictures and from the people I talked to that did get a chance to chat with her, both in Cincinnati and in Cleveland. She did a women's only clinic up in Cleveland. That's exactly the kind of stuff I hear. And that's a really great pick. I mean, Valkenburg is the place she could totally do that, Bill.
Yeah, and just to get off track a little bit, talk about that clinic a little bit. So your team was out there coaching as well, right?
Yeah, they did the sessions for the little kids. Doing that, and then Jen Malik, who rides for us, and Kennedy Adams went up to Cleveland with Katie the next day and actually helped her up there too for the women's clinic. And it was great. I mean, like I said, I wish I could have been there. I was on vacation, but it was really cool. Also, we just had our team training camp the week before, so everybody got all their new shiny stuff. That's always exciting, right, John? That new kit day. You get your bag, your shoes,
the
your
new
shade.
Stuff. Exactly. And the pictures in front of the wrapped van looked very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So our team is very excited. We're like so ready to go and just can't wait for Rochester. We're going to have most of our riders up in Rochester, and it's going to be a blast. Speaking of clinics, Bill.
Yes.
How was the Jeremy Powers clinic?
It was
how about that segue?
It was hottest. Was it was the hottest thing around. I can tell you that. I think everybody learned a lot. I think everybody had fun. But oh man, was it just a scorcher out there both days?
Steamy.
Yeah, I think we had like 70 plus gallons of water. I'm pretty sure we ended up with maybe one or two left over. I know the grocery store that is right near the Armed Forces Retirement Home where we had the clinic. I told them I was coming back, and I basically bought them out of ice every day. It was great. It went really well. I think people dug it. Jeremy was Jeremy and did an awesome job and kept everybody upbeat, even in the miserable conditions.
If you have a water bottle cage on your cross bike,
I was going to want the same thing.
You are racing with a water bottle cage. Do you put it on the seat tube or do you put it on the down tube? What is your opinion?
You put it on the seat tube.
Seat tube.
Because so many people now lift their bike with a down tube.
Oh, I say down tube.
Okay. Why?
Because there's more. I can put the bike on my shoulder easier with it on the down tube. It fits on my shoulder better. I don't know.
You must have long arms.
The bottle gets in the way on my back. Like,
I think that's a determining factor, too, on if you're going to have a bottle cage at all. And why we see so many, in the U.S., we see so many people who are able to ride with bottle cages wherever they may put them on their bike. Because the necessity of shouldering the bike, you know, the features in the U.S. that are so hard and so long that you need to actually shoulder that bike to run are few and far between.
Yeah,
I agree. Most of the time, you're either just suitcase and carrying it or you're pushing it.
Yeah.
What's the right answer, John?
Well, I totally agree. I look at the course, and if I think I'm going to have to shoulder, then I won't even put a cage on. But if I do put a cage on, I put it on the down tube.
Yeah.
Because just in case, you know, you do that broken whatever component and you have to run a half a lap,
it's
easier for me to carry with the cage on the down tube.
I also think the bottle is easier to reach on the down tube, for sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm not very flexible, though, like you guys.
But the question is, if you're wearing a Camelback, do you wear that on the front or the back?
You took the words out of my mouth. Who is going
to
be...
You're not allowed to wear it on the front, right? Wasn't there an issue with that? Gives you an aerodynamic advantage.
Yeah. Who's going to be the first elite level rider?
Who has cupping marks?
Who's going to have cupping marks?
On their face.
And wear a Camelback. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yes,
somebody's going to do it.
It is. You know, it could be this year with the weather we've been having.
It could be like Tyler Hamilton and in the tour during the time trials. Didn't CSC one year have like Camelbacks
built into their kit?
Yeah, well they're underneath the skin suit.
I think that was in the front though, wasn't it? That became an aero.
Oh, is that where that started?
Yeah,
it was an airfoil, of some kind. Yeah,
aquafoil.
Yep, that's right. Yep. Okay, Valkenburg.
Sorry, sidetrack. No, but we
no, that was good.
Right over the real point there, which was the cupping.
Yeah.
Is that somehow the swimmer's trying to get the polka dot jersey or something? I was trying to figure that one out.
That's what we'll get comments on the most, that people like that section the best.
There has to be, I mean, the first cupping sighting of the cross season. I want to know. I want someone to post a picture.
Yeah, so
that's
let's just.
Sort of like the chain ring mark on the calf. You know, it's going to be the new Cat 5 part.
Yeah.
So hashtag CX cupping. You know, we want to tweet it out to us.
Oh, I can't wait to see what that's going to produce right there. We move on. That's the only race. Valkenburg is the only World Cup in October. Then in November, we've got two more. First one being Kokseide in Belgium. Last year, of course, remember, this gave us the dramatic finish with Sven Nys and Wout van Aert. What are you guys thinking about? When you think of Kokseide, what do you think of? Sand?
Well, normally sand, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But last year was crazy, since it's usually, I mean, Kokseide is usually the one, you know, where they do the low pan on everybody's tires, and you're looking at them and you're like, how do you race a cyclocross race on those slicks? You know, it's just everybody's got their file treads on, and even and some of them even look like they're worn down, and it's just amazing. But last year wasn't the case. Everybody's on their mud tires racing Kokseide, so it was a whole different different game.
You know, because Challenge is making that new Dune tire.
Oh.
You seen that?
Do you pronounce it Duna?
maybe it's do not. But yeah, I mean, it's a real fine file tread. I just ordered a couple actually because I'm really curious about them.
Like a pure file tread with no side lugs.
It's got tiny little. It's very slightly raised side lugs. Nowhere near like the chicane or even the Griffo, the file tread Griffo's had. It's just even less than that. So. Yeah, I'm kind of curious about those. And then last year in Kokusaito, Ksane Kant got her first World Cup win. You know, I think it was her first, wasn't it? I don't know for sure. But she got it there with Nikki Harris. And that's the race Katie Compton was in third, if you guys remember. Now let's move on to November 26th is the race in Germany. This is obviously a totally new, right? Have we ever seen a race there before? You guys know?
I'm sure somebody will correct us, but not that I can recall.
Yeah, nothing that I've ever seen.
At least the World Cup.
And we're just hoping that it lives up to the French race from last year that was the new one in the schedule.
Harsh.
As far as course design goes. I forget who it was that tweeted that said something about this crazy spaghetti course last year.
The biggest put down with all the turns was people were comparing it to a U.S. course.
Yeah, but with that Jersey barrier, it looked more like that a was rat like, maze than anything else.
Yeah, like a really bad F1 course.
Yeah,
Tim Johnson, that's who it was. That's who was saying that.
So. I'm sure the Germans, it will be very orderly, and it'd probably be a good course. It's the town is called Zeven.
Yes.
Zeven?
Yes. And actually, to be honest, I went back and looked at that French race again. I rewatched it. It wasn't that bad. It was pretty decent. Just at the time, I remember thinking it was crazy.
It's just one of those classic races that every promoter looks at and goes, we're not allowed to do that. You know, it's the whole they don't do that in Europe. That's basically, that was the race. It's like, we can't do that. We can't do that.
Right.
No way our officials will let us do that. And this is a World Cup. And you're looking at all these like 180 turns and, you know.
Trees.
And like narrow. And yeah.
Yeah.
That was. Yeah. Yeah. And no one there.
Yeah.
Was there not? I don't remember that.
It was really, from a stands, fans in the stands thing, it was pretty empty.
Yeah, I'm sure it will not be that way in Germany. I would be surprised. So, all right, then we come into December. We lead off with Namur. Going to be awesome. That was, of course, Matthew Vanderpoel just crushing souls in that race. You guys remember?
Yeah, it was Vanderpoel. So had he raced another World Cup before that? He raced a couple races before that and was just sort of finding his legs again. And then by that time is when it was just, you know, it was on. And then everybody who was singing Van Aert's praises for the first two-thirds of the season were like, wout who?
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also in that race, Nikki Harris wins for the women. But I don't know if you guys remember, Caroline Mani got second place, starting to, you know, a precursor to what she was going to be capable of doing in Worlds a little bit, maybe. Have you guys seen that, you know, that we all Amy D stuff, that Raleigh Clement is not going to be supporting Amy D. They're going to be supported by Stans No Tube this year. And one of the reasons why they stated that is because they're going to have more of a European focus, according to what they said. I think to me that sounds like mostly a Caroline Mani thing, right? Because she had such a good season in Europe last year that maybe they're turning their focus a little bit more to that. What do you guys think about that?
So meaning having their same riders, but they're going to be doing longer European campaign and not worrying as much about the domestic UCI races?
Yeah, and I don't even know, not necessarily not worrying as much, but yeah, the scheduling priority is more European shifted. Not that they're not going to race in the U.S., but they're going to shift a little bit more of their focus over to Europe. And that was kind of what I was taking out of that, is that because of Caroline Mani's good season over there last year, that's probably some of the reason, at least, why they're thinking that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Is the expectation that she goes back and forth, or is the expectation that she basically Jonathan Powers it and stays in Europe?
Jonathan Powers?
Page? Page, sorry.
Jonathan Page and Jeremy Powers. I have no idea. I mean, I'm just
what
thinking
would
that
a Jonathan Powers look like?
There we go. And go.
I mean, let's just think about that for a second.
Well, he tried
to think about that avatar.
A really nice guy that doesn't mind taking people out in the corners. I'd like that. I think that'd be a good mix. Jonathan Powell.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then we're going to finish off the World Cup schedule with Zolder, of course, again. So two races in Belgium to finish it off. Again, Matthew Vanderpoel winning that one last year with Pauls and Vanderhaar second and third. Compton got second, and Ellen Van Looy got third in that race last year. So finishing off strong, Zolder. I mean, what do you got to say about Zolder?
What I have to say is Ellen Van Looy, is she going to be back up there again this year? She is just, like, ageless.
I know. It's awesome. It's so awesome. I love seeing her out there, and she's just great. So I don't know. I hope so. I think so. What do you guys, David, John, you guys think Ellen Van Looy can hang in there another year?
How old is she?
Late 30s.
Is she as old as, like, Katarina Nash? I think Katarina Nash might even be a year older than her or something.
36.
She's 30. Yeah, see, yeah. I think Katarina Nash and Compton are both 37.
Yeah. It's so different in the women's. I mean, you know, Sven aside, it seems like women racers really can have a whole career that they definitely start to peak later.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But is that because that there wasn't this huge wave of the Antonos and all the young riders, not that Chloe Dygert's a cyclocross rider, but she has done a couple, but, you know, the developing young women, we could see a wave of the Vanderpoel, but on the female side.
I think you're right. And I think that did have a lot to do with it. And that's why we still have that aging. I don't want to get in trouble.
And I think
a wave at the top.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully with the U23 women now division, and hopefully not too far away from a juniors women's division, then you start developing and you see it.
Right. Well, Scott, you know, the team that Scott works with, there's a huge crop of five solid ladies right there who could all make it to that level.
Yeah, and it's also that the, you know, we all know just from the type of thing that Scott is doing does not exist in Europe, so the development of women at a young age just, you know, is rarer. So that's why that, you know, they're not getting into it, I don't think. They were coming from road. They were coming from other disciplines into cross, and that now is changing. And I really think somebody like Sana Kant, who is a, you know, full-time cyclocross racer, is sort of changing that culture as well.
Is that because it's a chauvinistic culture in Europe, or is it just the infrastructure isn't there, or people just thought women wouldn't want to do cyclocross? Or, I mean, I'm wondering.
I think, and I don't want to get into trouble here, but I think in Belgium specifically, which is going to be, you know, your the heart of cyclocross, developing women racers definitely took a back seat. And then, but I think that if you go over to somewhere like the Netherlands, it's really different. And, you know, Marianne Vos will be the first one to talk about that, and that there is development for women cyclists, but maybe in that country, road is king, and then cyclocross is a little farther down the road. So for cyclocross specifically, I think when you go to the motherland, yes, women development really isn't where it is in other countries.
I think that speaks well for the states. Sorry, Scott. Because it seems to me that the states are developing women younger, and, you know, it could be like a women-dominated.
Oh yeah, look at that
international cycling scene.
Look at that race we saw last year. You know, it didn't last, but it was you got Ellen Noble and Emma White just like flying off the front of this. It was like a B post race. What was you know, you're like, "Oh, there it is. There's the future." And it's pretty awesome. And I think that is where the US can really make its mark as far as cyclocross goes.
And we haven't even mentioned Evie Richards.
Yeah.
Forget about her.
Yeah.
She was She was a powerhouse at Worlds, and I think we'll see more of her, so that's cool.
Yeah,
and
when I talked to her that time, she was like, yeah, because I was like, well, are we ever going to see the rainbow jersey, which was a huge red herring because I don't know where she can actually wear it. But meaning, you know, is she going to be racing more cyclocross? And I think that experience, and why wouldn't it, when winning a world championship sort of gave her the bug, and she really enjoys it, really has fun, and is now sort of splitting her focus between mountain bike and cyclocross. So yeah, I think she's going to show up. I wasn't sure if she was coming to the U.S. since, you know, when she's never raced outside of Europe now. So she's never really been overseas. But so we'll see.
Speaking of coming to the U.S., though, since we're talking about developing women riders, we can't forget the girl that Helen Wyman signed for Helen Wyman's going to have the developing
Next Wyman, I think is what it is.
Next Wyman, yeah, rider who I believe is coming to Rochester for sure, and I think Trek. So definitely want to get a picture of our Women CX Project girls with Helen and her, because I think that will be really cool.
They're going to be sticking around for a while too. At least Helen is, because she's doing Charm City.
Oh, that'd be awesome if they're staying through that whole time. It would be so cool to get to spend some time with them and kind of pick their brains with what they're thinking about women's development. So that would be awesome. There's also a women's development team in the Northwest called the Northwest Women's Cyclocross Project. Very similar name to ours, but a little bit different, that are doing a great job. We've actually been communicating with them a little bit already this year, and we'll see what they do. I think they're spending a little bit more time in the Northwest this year, but they are going to be, obviously they're going to nationals and stuff like that, but also cool to see just another program sticking specifically for women and developing women riders in cyclocross. So very exciting stuff.
Yes.
All right, Bill, what else did you want to cover?
Did we do all the World Cups?
We did all the World Cups. What about Worlds?
Yeah. Luxembourg.
Luxembourg. You guys got your tickets already?
I want to go. That's when I want to go, too.
Everybody go.
Okay.
It's decided. It's a small place. We'll see the Schlecks. Maybe we can get housing with the Schlecks.
Yeah.
There you go. What were you saying, Bill?
I'm not sure. What was I saying? No, I don't know.
this is gold.
Look, we have gone for 40 minutes with absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about. So
exactly.
if it breaks down now, I think we've done a good job already.
All right. Well, let's talk about what our plans are for this year for podcasting. We're basically going to try and get to some kind of regular schedule. Is that right, guys? Like maybe if we can't do it weekly, at least every other week, and try and get race coverage in there, for they don't do that in Europe specifically, every week or every other week. Is that the plan?
That sounds like a good plan. Let's make that the plan.
All right. So we'll keep all those Twitter fans happy. And we'll just keep this going. See, it's going to be a great season. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the U.S. season.
So, what are you doing? Are you starting in Rochester? And then what's your plan?
Yeah. So we're doing. So because of this September and October is just brutal. We got the Australians are coming in September 6th. That's the Tuesday before Rochester. So the team is going to be, for the most part, going to Rochester. I believe Courtney McFadden and Amanda Nauman, who we also support, are going to be coming out there too for that. So we're going to be one of our shop sponsor, John, who you know very well, for Element Cycles, Brett. Is from the Rochester area and has a friend who owns a small hotel there who we're basically crashing their hotel. We're taking over their entire hotel and going to be hanging out in Rochester. That's going to be a blast. Nice. Then we're doing...
Wait, can we talk about Rochester for a second?
Sure.
Because you mentioned it at the beginning and then we never really followed up. One thing to remember is that that's where the whole spray zone controversy began, and that's what we were talking about nonstop about at the beginning of the season last year. Second, which you mentioned, new venue. So what does this, do you know what this new venue looks like? This used to be a climber's course, you know, not super technical, but a lot of climbing in there, a lot of power. Do you know anything about the new venue?
I have not heard too much about the new venue. One thing I have heard about it, though, not that this is course related, but the mechanics and the teams will enjoy this, is the fact that the parking is not as far away. I don't know if everybody remembers it. The parking at Rochester was so far away before. And I think that's one of the things, that one of the problems that the new venue solves, is there's going to be plenty of parking. So that's the only thing I really know about the new venue. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of stuff put out there about what kind of, is the course going to have as much climbing? I know that's a lot of what most people ask me right away is, you know, are we going to have that big hill, that big, slow, long uphill climb like we've had before? And yeah, I just don't know exactly what we're going to be looking at. John, have you heard anything about Rochester?
No, I have not.
Yeah. So that's going to be, it's going to be a mystery. That's what I'm saying, you know, between that being a new venue, between KMC being a new venue, and basically Jingle Cross, you know, because the conditions could be so much different, almost being like a new venue, it's going to leave some big questions about what's going to happen this year. So we'll see. We'll see. Are you going to be at Rochester, Bill?
I do. No, I will not be there. I think I have another race in this area. I don't know where I'm
gonna be. Cool. I'm
all over the place. I have no idea what my schedule is at this point.
Is that Mid-Atlantic race there that weekend? Then we will be going to Trek.
When is Rochester
weekend.
What's the date?
Rochester is September 10th and 11th.
10th, yeah.
Same as the Alma GP.
All right, yeah. I'm somewhere. I think I'm in Spain. Okay. I'm in Spain.
Okay.
Seriously.
I'll be in France that weekend.
Southern.
I'll be on the border of Spain.
I'll be in the Pyrenees. I'll be in Andorra.
Ah, nice. Wow.
Should come over for the World Cup mountain bike race.
You come over. I'm not going to Spain. I'm in France.
but then we are hitting Trek. We're going to hit Jingle. We're not going to be able to drive out to Vegas, which I'm just, this is the first time I'm missing Vegas in like six years.
Oh, you're not.
This is
breaking news. I didn't know this.
I just can't make it. I can't drive all the way out there with the team stuff and then drive all the way back. I mean, right. I can't fit it in. So, yeah, totally bummed. And then we come back, do Jingle, do Providence, do Charm City. We're going to be hanging out in Charm City. We're going to be hanging out in South Baltimore for a week, Bill. So
really?
We got to get down to DC and say hi. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Totally.
The Australians will do some sightseeing down in DC. So
keep me in the loop on that.
Yeah, and then we're gonna hit, you know, the usual Cincy, Cleveland, and Louisville.
Louisville.
So yeah. So just gonna be great. Gonna be great.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
You just went right over it, and you know, you just hurt me with that last run there in the middle of it.
The Cleveland
part. Yeah.
So, well, but you know, the Cleveland race promoter, Velo Goat, is a huge sponsor of our team. So, you know, they do so much to help us out. So,
that's why we're staying the week at
Charm City.
I'm sure it'll be a fine race.
I'm excited about that weekend. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Do you know why I am giving Scott a hard time?
Yes. Okay.
It will be a good week all across the country for cyclocross.
Well, at least the eastern side of the country, which, right. You know.
yes.
I am all for having more than one C2 race on the same weekend. I just wish it were more than 5 hours between them.
Right.
Or whatever it is. It's not a long drive in the bigger scheme of things.
It's as long a drive from Cincinnati to Cleveland as it is from the DC area to Cleveland.
That makes me feel even worse. But yeah, but
it's a longer drive from Cincinnati to DC than it is from Cincy to Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah,
if that makes sense.
And it's much longer from Ann Arbor, Michigan to D.C. than
it is. Like California. California is always worrying about not having enough races. That'd be a great weekend for a California race.
Yeah.
Hawaii? Yeah. Hawaii could have a C2 race. Put it there.
Hawaii? Oh, I'd go. I'd be there in a second.
DC and Hawaii. That's what I'm going to propose for next year.
Yes. All right, guys, let's wrap this thing up.
Wait a minute. Don't you like take emails and make fun of other people or give relationship advice? What kind of podcast is it?
I know you're jumping the gun here. We have Gatch. We got to take advantage of this. I mean, there's a lot of things that I need to know.
I was going to say, John, that's a failed format, man. Every podcast has gone out.
I don't know, but they're still calling for it.
Well, this is the thing. So
it's ranked higher, Scott, than our cyclocross today was ranked.
We did not.
Years after it was defunct.
Yeah.
We didn't podcast for anybody else but ourselves.
Right.
That's right.
Your
show was awesome, dude.
So my question to you is, and I, you know, what I put in the tweet, and I'm sure this is a sort of hack and not original, but how many times still do people come up to you and ask where their glasses should be in relation to their helmet straps?
I get social media shots all the time.
It's amazing. I mean, this is like a legacy.
Over, under.
White socks, dark socks.
Waving. That's... I mean, the Slow Ride podcast wants to put themselves out there as proponents of waving. I believe you all were on that train years before.
They're right. There's the race face, the single finger, double finger, chin wag. And then it's a hard and fast rule that you only wave at somebody once. If you see them again, later in the day or in the ride, you've already waved at him once.
Now, that was you that said the only wave once, right, John?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I it was so funny. I loved that part of your guys' show because that's what I always thought. Because I always thought if I wave at him a second time, they're gonna think I don't notice that it's the same person.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like rude. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, you got it.
Totally get it.
And I did the analogy to if you're in France, I go and work in France, and if you have a friend or a working acquaintance, you shake their hand in the morning. Well, the first time you see them, and that's it. You shake their hand once, and then you see them per day, just once per day.
Yeah.
You just greet them, and you say, I see you, hello. And so, it's a respect thing. And like you said, if you try and shake their hand again, they'll be like, what? This jerk doesn't remember seeing me this morning?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally get it.
Here are the other things that we need to just sort of aspire to in our podcast. John's podcast, they had a villain. They had like this Texas Roadhouse. Is that it? What's that team?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, so it was like every week. I mean, this was the antagonist of the of that podcast. It was great. You had to check in. It was like a serial.
We have to get a villain.
Yeah, oh, we need a villain.
All right,
Actually, now here I'm just going to ramble for just one second.
Please
go for it.
So I was thinking back on we had some emails from some woman who made a date with some guy she met, and they were going to go on a ride. And
I see it.
Lo
coming.
And behold, he is on a recumbent. And his laundry was like, I like this guy, but he's on a recumbent. And he never mentioned that it was a recumbent until he shows up. And she felt very uncomfortable, towering over this guy, shouting down at the top of his helmet and flag or whatever he had. And then I was thinking this morning, also, she's in when you go to the dentist or when you go get your hair cut, do you guys think, oh, I better blow my nose first or trim my nose hairs or something?
Because they're going to be looking at them.
Right. You're in a vulnerable position, and I could see where you're riding with somebody on a recumbent and they're looking up your nose or. So that's another reason why you should never ride with anybody.
Did the guy on the recumbent have cycling shorts? That's what I want to know, with a padded
back chamois.
That's shit.
Every time I'm at Brett's shop, Element Cycles in Cincinnati, every time I'm there, Gatch shows up. And you come in, John, and you've got like three frames on each arm and two sets of wheels in your hand. And you like come racing in the door. You're putting stuff in stands. You're hanging stuff on the hooks. You're putting bikes together. And then like at the end, like there's a complete bike and you roll it out the front door. I'll see you guys later. And out you go. It's like every time I'm at Brett's shop, that's what happens.
I'm done assembling. That's not going to happen the next time you're there. We'll have a coffee.
All right. This is the life of a bike man, right?
Right.
So speaking of the John, how's your son doing racing this year?
He's doing great, but I want to talk about the other John.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
You know that the other John, John Kay, has gotten heavily, heavily, heavily into motorcycle racing. And he lives down in Charlotte. He has three Ducatis. I'll send you guys a picture.
This is amazing.
Like put your knee on the ground kind of racing.
Like the puck on the knee?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He has gotten, like, way into motorcycle racing.
That's great.
Definitely want to see a picture.
Bad accident.
That doesn't seem like much of Zen riding going on in that.
No. But he does have a more Zen machine, and he was riding north of Asheville a year and a half ago, and a deer basically just took him out, and he was injured pretty badly, but he's recovered from that. So he's full on motorcycle now.
Nice. Very cool. That's a good way to go, you know? Why not?
Yeah.
You know, we see all the guys. It's an interesting progression, too, because it's really typical, especially in cyclocross, where you'll see these guys that grow up in motocross, and then they come over to cyclocross, and they know how to corner, and they know how to, you know, use momentum and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to see it can work the other way as well.
Yeah.
You're done, okay, Scott. That's fine. You can be done.
No. What else? I want to hear what, because see, you listened to two Johns longer than I did. I kind of only listened to the last year or so. So like,
well,
you know more.
They're still up there. You can listen to them.
I should go back. There's so much stuff now. I don't even have time to listen to the current. I don't even listen to this show.
So tell us how Missing Saddle's doing these days.
You know, that's Curtis Tolson.
Yeah.
And he's doing great. He is. He opened a coffee shop in Tucson called Presta Coffee and Coffee Roasters, and his business is booming. He distributes all the way up into Scottsdale and Phoenix, and yeah, it's awesome. He's doing really well.
Hey, gentlemen, I got to cut out.
Bye.
Sorry to interrupt.
See you, David. Go back to work.
Cool Nagos here. I'm going to talk to them.
All right. I'll see you in Vegas.
Bye. Tell them to make a rim brake cross bike in the States.
I'm waiting for it. All the influence I have, I keep asking. This is far we go. I'll talk with you guys. John, it was good chatting with you.
Likewise. You, bye.
Okay. Yeah, David has a rim brake Colnago. He's still got his. Yeah.
I went all disc. Here, I'm sending you guys a picture of John Corey.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
All right, Bill. What else do we got to talk about?
Oh, there goes David.
Are you going to leave all this stuff in the show?
Like David leaving like that? Yeah, that goes in.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Why not?
Awesome.
So, John, the more we do this, the less editing I do.
It's because we're getting better.
Yeah. Well, it's that, and it's also, I mean, every once in a while, if there's a big pause, I'll cut it out. But John,
it has to be like 10 seconds.
John, Scott used to go through... And I truly believe this was one of the reasons he was like, I'm done. Not doing this anymore. Was he used to go through the file and remove every
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you can't remove. You know what? You can't remove every because then it sounds weird.
Sure.
It's like you removed enough that you sent us.
You sent us a 3-minute super mix of all of our ums.
And it was awesome. Yeah, the Cyclocross Today shows and the Bike Shop shows were highly edited. I mean, I never edited anything out or changed anything, but yeah, no pauses, no like ums or uhs or anything like that. No, that all got edited out. It took me hours.
That sounds
every
tedious.
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
That's why that show was such a hit, too. I mean,
that's true. It was the production values. That's what people loved.
That's right. Oh, God. Well, John, thanks for being on the show, man. We got to have you back again when we have real topics
to talk about.
All right. Definitely. We'll definitely do that this season sometime. I'll just hit you up for one of our
We could even hit people up for a time, you know, down the road when John comes back and all of those built up questions, all those built up emails that they had, they can then ask John for the Two John podcast. Yes, so we can have like a Two John podcast mailbag.
Oh, John.
I'd love to do it. Well, we need to get the other John though.
Okay.
His cerebral 420 take on things.
That's fine. There's enough room on the Skype box.
That's right. So, all right, John, if people want to get in touch with you or follow you on Twitter, how should they do it?
Two John's podcast, I think.
That's it still, that's I it? Believe. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. And Bill, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
The best way for people to get in touch with me, well, one, if they want to email us, they can send it to feedback@cxairs.com. And then I'm also at CXAirs most places on social media.
And likewise, Instagram and Twitter, I am Cyclocross Network, just at Cyclocross Net, and you can find me there, no problem. Guys, thanks for being on. What a pleasure. You guys were amped now for cross season.
Woohoo!
It's here. Starts tomorrow. Amped.
That's amazing. That still just blows my mind. It starts tomorrow.
I know. I'm going to be rooting for Chris and Tom, so we'll see what happens, and then we're off. So until World. So, all right, guys, take care, and we'll catch up with you guys soon.
Sounds like a good. Thank you.
One wave only.
One
wave. All right, there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Crosshairs Radio. Before I let you go, I want you to know that this very episode with John from Two John's podcast was brought to you by Ixnay. I-C-K-S-N-A-Y. Ixnay, Ixnay.com. You may be asking, hey Bill, what is Ixnay? Let me tell you. Ixnay offers up beautifully designed gear for your daily adventures. For instance, they have this awesome cat jersey. Yes, cats. It has cats on it. It says cats. It's a pretty sweet jersey. It's available right now for pre-order. They also, one of my favorite things that these guys have available are the cyclocross stocking hats and scarves. I wear my cyclocross scarf all the time. You've probably seen them out there. It's an iconic piece of gear. Go pick up one of those. Neck gaiters or cycling buffs, that's another great item. It's going to start getting cool, perfect for cyclocross. Cycling buffs are available for the upcoming cyclocross season and winter months. They have them in standard and the fleece line deep winter models. That should be pretty sweet. You like patches? They got an NECX patch. Everybody loves Nebraska cyclocross. Wait, what's that? New England? Oh, New England cyclocross. Go get an NECX cyclocross patch. Those are available at the Ixnay site. Tons of other fun patches as well. A flaming couch. You all know what Cross Results is, right? Flaming couch patches and stickers only at Ixnay.com. Go check out Ixnay. Lots of cool stuff. Again, it's ICKSNAY.com. Go on Twitter. At Ixnay Shop, at ICKSNAYSHOP. They're on Twitter and Instagram under at Ixnay Shop. Go let them know you heard about them on Crosshairs Radio. Go to the site, go pick something up. Once again, I'm not gonna do my Carl Castle impersonation to end the show, but I will ask you to go to wideanglepodium.com, become a member. This is our donor drive. We really want to see all of you join. I can tell you right now that normal episode, we're looking at right around 3,000 listeners. The donors to Wide Angle Podium, much, much less than that. We'd like to bring that number up a little bit. You know, at the lowest level, $5 a month is not a huge outlay of cash over the year. It's just coming out every month, $5, not that big a deal. So do that. Got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Cross is right around the corner. These podcasts are just going to keep getting more and more awesome. Go check out everything else that you have available on the Wide Angle Podium Network as far as podcasts go, and we will see you soon.